talk this out, to bring a word from God's word in a way that it's not my word, but it's his word that you hear. That makes sense so far? I very rarely write anything down. I like to read scripture, and I have a lot of scripture to read today, and I trust that you will bear with me, because I believe this is an important message for us to hear as individuals and corporate body. And if I am able to deliver it in a way that I trust God will enable me to deliver it, a way that you will understand it, then I think it will be a revelation in some circumstances. And not very often do I say it's worth sharing something, but if this is delivered in the right way, then I would encourage you to share it with others that may be able to take advantage of what God is saying through his word. I have written one or two things down that I just want to say as a prelude to what I have to share. And I scribbled some of them down this morning during worship. And this one, just listen to this. If we believe in our hearts and we confess with our mouths that Jesus is our Lord, then salvation is ours. Yes? Something worth thinking about this. It's not just enough to believe, but we need to speak it out as well. There's something quite powerful in what we say. And the cross, please bear with me if I go over my time, but I was listening to a podcast of a guy who, from an early age, he was involved in drink and drugs, mainly drugs, and he found himself in prison. And I was interested in the story because he's a champion bare-knuckle fighter. And my granddad was a champion bare-knuckle fighter. And my uncle was a champion bare-knuckle fighter. I'm not. But it's in our blood to be able to defend ourselves. And I listened to this man's story. And there was a part of his story where he was saying, you know, there's something about the cross. He said, I'm not a Christian. He said, but I get signs all the time. And I just wish I could believe. I just don't believe at the moment, but maybe that will change. And he said, but there's something about the cross. And his words were this. He said, the cross is a place of holiness and sacrifice. And probably heard something like that before, but when I looked into this man's eyes, I could see that he understood the cross was where holiness and sacrifice was mingled. Without the shedding of blood, the Bible says, there is no forgiveness of sins. Mankind is lost, sold into sin, bought back by the precious blood of the Lamb. Sin separates us from God. Blood satisfies God's judgment. And then during worship, Jesus pleads for us. There's something about what we say, there's something about what he has said that I think is so powerful. And there's times where we can, it's quite true that we can be super spiritual, we can say something and someone else might say, oh, you mustn't say that because it will happen. But there is something quite powerful in our words, yes? You know, I remember someone close to me saying they used to be able to, or they were a really good high jumper. And someone said, you're rubbish, you can't do that, and they didn't, and they couldn't. And so words are powerful, aren't they? And so I want to read God's word, and I hope that you'll grab what I'm trying to say. Now, we're going to be speaking about the blood. Not just any blood, not just the blood of animals, the sacrificial lamb, but the blood of Christ himself. But first of all, I want to read a portion from Genesis, because there may be people that don't fully understand the story, and there's a lot of scripture, and we're going to weave through the Bible, and I trust that it will make sense. But I'm not going to use much of my words. I'm going to read his words. So are you ready? So Emma, take note. This is how you do it. Is it okay today if you're blessed?
Amen. Yes.
Is it okay if you're challenged?
Yes.
That's how you do it. You ask them if they're going to be okay with being blessed first, Emma. You don't go straight in and say, right, I'm going to challenge you. Are you okay with that? And we go, no. But we are okay for God's blessing, but we're also okay for God's challenge. So I hope you'll have ears to hear and eyes to see what Scripture says. Now, in Genesis, it talks about Adam and Eve. It talks about God making garments for them. And if you read Genesis, you'll understand that there was two trees in the garden, and God said, "Do not eat of the fruit." And there was a tree there that they participated in, and it revealed their nakedness. And there's a whole new sermon about Adam always blames somebody else. "It wasn't me, it was her, the woman you gave me." The woman says, "It wasn't me, it was the serpent." There's always someone else to blame. But the truth is, for us as Christians, we have an adversary. We have someone who wants to rob, steal and destroy, and his name is Satan. But the Bible tells us we have overcome, because we are overcomers, because we put our trust in God, because we've been covered by his blood. And so in Scripture it says that God made skins for them, and it doesn't say necessarily in Genesis that he slew an animal, but that's the logical conclusion. But when we look through Scripture and we see that Cain and Abel brought their sacrifices, we saw that there was a blood offering there. It's blood that satisfies God's judgment. And that's what we see in Scripture. So as we go through the Bible, let me just read this small portion from Peter. "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed." You were bought back. Remember that it's sin that separates us from God. It tells us right from the beginning in Genesis. Sin separates us. It also says this: all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us. Me, you, and everybody out there. You know, when we talk about equality, we're all equal, we're all sinners. But the good news is we can be saved by the precious blood of the Lamb. But there's a process in which we need to go through. And when we look through the Old Testament, there was a process in which the priest had to come before the throne of God. They had to come in a certain way. They had to bring an animal that was spotless and clean. And the blood had to be sprinkled in a certain way to appease God's wrath. In this portion of Scripture here, it says, "We've been redeemed, not by the empty way of life handed down to you," it says here, "or to us by our ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish and defect." Why is this important? I'm glad you asked. Because right through Scripture in the Old Testament, it talks about the sacrifice of an animal. The blood, it had to be a blood that was spotless. A blood that was clean in that sense, before the sacrifice was acceptable. And when we look through Scripture, as a Christian, a non-Christian, someone who's looking, someone who's new into the faith, you will see a thread that runs right the way through. And I'm going to talk us through some of it, or share some of it with us, just by reading Scripture. In Leviticus 16, verse 2, the Lord says to Moses, "Tell your brother Aaron that he is not to come whenever he chooses into the most holy place behind the curtain." This is important, because if we understand the most holy place, look at the tabernacle. Ask Mike for some of his notes on the tabernacle, and you'll get a picture of what they had to do, in what order they had to do it in order to be affirmed by God, in order for that sin of the individual and the nation to be atoned for. There was a way of doing things. And for us as Christians, we can have the Lord's table, and he says, "Come, do this in remembrance of me." And there are times where we can just think, "Oh, it's just a bit of juice and it's just a bit of bread." But actually, when we think about his sacrifice and what it means, maybe we should examine ourselves and understand that actually, when we eat of this, it's his flesh. And when we drink of this, it's his blood. This is, do this in remembrance of me. It's something that, you know, we can either miss it or we can see it. So today I want to reveal to us afresh the things that needed to be done. In front of the atonement cover on the ark, "Or else he will die." That's how serious it was. "For I will appear in the cloud over the atonement cover. This is how Aaron is to enter the most holy place. He must first bring a young bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering." There's an order that God had put in place, and that's what he had to follow. He is to put the sacred linen tunic on. There was a robe that he had to wear in order to be fit for purpose. And that's important. If we don't see this in the Old Testament, we won't fully understand it in the New Testament, the New Covenant. He is to put on the sacred linen tunic and the linen undergarment next to his body. He is to tie the linen sash around him and put on the linen turban. These are the sacred garments, so he must bathe himself with water before he puts them on. From the Israelite community, he is to take two male goats, one for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. Aaron is to offer the bull for his own sin and an offering to make atonement for himself. First of all, he must be cleansed in order to give him the opportunity to go and make a sacrifice on behalf of the people. Then he is to take two goats and present them before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting. He is to cast lots for the two goats, one for the Lord and the other for a scapegoat. Aaron shall bring the goat whose lot falls to the Lord and sacrifice it for sin, for a sin offering. But the goat chosen the lot for the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord and used for making atonement and sent into the wilderness. And this is important because if you take the time to read through this, I haven't got the time today to fully expand on it, but if you look at this and you look at what God was saying, there's a blood covenant here, there's an offering here, and it will atone for your sin, and also the sins of the people will be placed upon the scapegoat, and the scapegoat will take the atoning for your sin. There's blood and this sacrifice. When we look at what Jesus has done for us, and hopefully we'll see it as we go through the New Testament, we'll see that he had sin, our sin, placed upon himself. He became our scapegoat. He also became our sacrifice. So it's a bit like saying there's a question, but I'm going to give you the answer before the question is asked. Because I want us not to miss what I'm saying, because I'm speaking loudly and fast as I go through scripture. I want us to understand there is a way that God asks us to come into his presence. And there is a significance. It says this in Leviticus 17:11, "For the life of the creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement, to pay for that sin for yourselves on the altar." It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. Blood is significant. And when we look through scripture, when we read hymns, when we worship, so often, if you're in a Bible-believing church, you will hear about the blood through worship. You'll hear about the blood through ministry. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Everything hinges upon the blood. Scripture tells us that the life of the animal is in the blood. You drain the blood from an animal, and the animal dies. You drain the blood from me, and I die. Life is in the blood. It's important to understand that this is not something to be afraid of. This is something to actually marvel. And I want us to see it as we go through scripture. In Exodus 12:5, worth reading around these stories so you get the full impact rather than just this little snippet. But I want us to receive something today. I want us to say, "Lord, I can do all things through you because you strengthen me. Because you've enabled me, because you've saved me, because you've purchased me, I belong to you. And everything the Bible says about me, I want to lay hold of." "The animals you choose must be a year old males without defect, that you may take them from the sheep and goats and take them, keep them until the 14th day." Now this portion of scripture is all about where Pharaoh is being told, "Let my people go." And his heart was hardened. And it got to a point where God was going to take the firstborn. And he said to his people, "I want you to do something. I want you to slaughter a lamb. And I want you to do something in a certain way. And I will pass over. And you will be protected." And we'll get to that in detail a bit more as we go through scripture. In 1 Peter 1, "Since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially," that's yours and that's mine and that's everyone else, "live out your time as foreigners here with reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed." I'm repeating it again because it's worth hearing. from the empty way of life handed down to you. There's a way of life that was handed down, but we are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. I repeat that because there is a process in which we enter into the Holy of Holies. There's a process in which we can enter into God's throne room. And I want us to see that, maybe afresh for today, or just a reminder. In Colossians 1:17, it says this: He is before all things, and in him all things are held together. This is the Lord. And he is the head of the body, Jesus Christ, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead. That's important, because if Christ rose from the dead, guess what? We can also. He is the first fruits. So that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all the fullness dwell in him. This is Christ. And through him, Christ Jesus, to reconcile to himself things, whether things on earth or in heaven, and make by them making peace through his blood. Peace is made because we have been separated by our sin. Christ Jesus, by shedding his blood, has made peace between those that accept him and God. He has become the bridge in which people walk across to get to God. He has made peace. He has reconciled the war. He has paid the price. How did he pay it? Not with silver and gold, but with his blood. He poured out his life so that we could live, to reconcile us to God. How do we get to God? Not by our good works. How do we get to God? Not by paying. How do we get to God? Through Jesus Christ. But there's a way in which God says, I want you to come. And we have to come through Christ. We have to come in a certain way. Once you were alienated from God, you were enemies in the minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy. This is you, in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Without blemish and free from accusation. See, it's important to understand the blood, because it's the blood that washes us, makes us clean. And when we understand that, we understand who we are. Yes, we are frail. Yes, we get things wrong. Yes, we sin. But we have a Saviour that says not guilty, because he speaks on our behalf. But there's a process in which we as his children have to come to his throne. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out within the gospel. You see, the gospel is a gospel of hope. This word is a word of hope. It brings something that we cannot fully understand, but we can grasp it, because Christ died for me and he died for you. In Romans 5:8, it says this: But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I put this in because so often people on a journey into faith, they can have this conversation with us, and they have this conversation with God. They say, yeah, but you don't understand how bad I am. You don't understand how I treat my XXX. You don't understand the things that I've done. Well, listen to what God says to you. Listen to what God said to us. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to put faith and trust in him. While we were on that journey, since we have now been justified, just as if I'd not sinned at all, by his blood. How are we justified? By his blood. His blood that he poured out. How much more shall we be saved from God's wrath? God's wrath should be laid upon us, but it's been laid upon him. He became the scapegoat. He shed his blood. He became the sacrifice. For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, reconnected to God, shall we be saved through his life? Not only this, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now been received reconciliation. Have you received reconciliation? God has brought you afar and brought you near. And it's not because you're a good person. It's because he's a gracious God. So I want to talk about the blood of Jesus. I want to talk about the power of Jesus' blood. I want to talk about the resurrection in his blood. I want to talk about the healing in his blood. And I want you to hear what God's word says. In 1 John 1:7 it says this: "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another." So as we ask God to open our eyes, we have fellowship with one another. And it goes on to say this: "And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin." As we fellowship with God, as we fellowship with one another, as iron sharpens iron, as we come before his throne and we confess our sins, he purifies us from all sin. And I mean all sin. There's times where we as Christians, his children, we can say, I don't deserve this because I did that. Remember God when I said that? And God's going, no. And I'm not being flippant, but God's word says, when we confess our sins, he remembers our sins no more. So why don't we keep reminding ourselves of the things that God has said he's forgotten? Now, there's times that we can be reminded so we don't go that way again. Lord, give me grace. Give me peace, Lord Father God. As you've forgiven me, help me to forgive them. Yes, of course. But we can walk in the fullness and the cleanliness of God because we've been washed through the water of life and we've been washed by the precious blood of the Lamb. If we confess our sins, this word confess, speak it out. As there's something powerful with our words. As we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sins and purify us, clean us from all unrighteousness. But if we claim we have not sinned, then we make him out to be a liar, and the word is not with us. So there's something important with recognizing sin, confessing sin, accepting forgiveness. All of that is covered by his blood. That's why the blood of Jesus Christ shed for us is important. Life is in the blood. Hebrews 13:12. I only have 34 more scriptures and we're okay with time, so I'll speak a little bit faster. "And so Jesus also suffered outside the gate to make the people holy through his blood." You know, sometimes we as Christians, we struggle with who we are. To say we are a holy people, a royal priesthood. We struggle with that. I went to a funeral the other day and someone said to me, and I know he was kidding, but he said, "What are you doing here? This is just for special people." And I said, "I am special. I'm a child of the living God." Sometimes we can be embarrassed to declare to ourselves, our families, our enemies, who we are. Not with pride, but being proud that the fact that God has reconciled us through his blood. So the blood of Jesus Christ is something that we can take hold of and we can celebrate and we can allow it to work in our lives. Using 1 John 1 again, 7. "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light," let's have that sweet fellowship. Let's know that we're covered by his blood. This is an important portion of scripture because it's in Revelation 12:11. It says this: "They triumphed." Who are they? That's us as people. That's his people that ever lived and never will live. That's God's people. They're the they. You are the they. "They triumphed over him." Who's the him? It's the devil. It's Satan and his minions. So just picture that. We are the they, and we have triumphed over him. We are the they, he is the enemy. So we have triumphed over him. How? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. There is something powerful about the blood of the Lamb and the words that we speak in association with the blood of the Lamb. I want you to understand it, and I hope I do this justice, and I hope I'm not just putting my spin on this. I hope you see that scripture gives us that opportunity to acknowledge the power that's in the blood of Jesus that's been shed on Calvary's cross. That we understand there's power in the things that we speak. And I'm not talking about name it and you claim it and you blab it and you grab it, in the sense of if I believe that I'll have a new pair of shoes, I will have a new pair of shoes. Who knows, you might. But there's truth in God's word. If he has said it, he can accomplish it. If he said he's want to prosper you, he can prosper you. If he said he wants to heal you, guess what? He can heal you. And all of that comes from the shedding of his blood. If forgiveness comes from the blood, the power comes from the blood. So there's something powerful about what we say. If we say to someone, you can do this, I'll stand with you. There's power in that. If we get our source of power from God, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Yes? If we just use empty words, it will just be empty words. But if we understand who we are, that we're his children, that we've been covered by his blood, that we have access to what he says we have access to. The Bible says we are who we are according to Scripture. The blood can do what the blood says it can do. But we have an opportunity to have this revelation afresh. We triumph over the devil by the blood of the Lamb that was shed on Calvary's cross and the word that's been applied into our lives. So what we say about what he says is important. In 1 Corinthians 5 verse 7 it says this: get rid of the old yeast so that you may be a new unleavened batch as you really are. For Christ is our Passover lamb. And these words are important because if we go for the Old Testament sacrifice of the Passover lamb. When we look at the Passover lamb that had to be sacrificed in order for the avenging angel to pass over, it was significant. There was a process in which they had to go. And I'm saying to us, suggesting to us, God says it's a process that we have to go through. But Christ is our Passover lamb. He has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the festival not with the old bread, leavened with malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Sincerity and truth. In Hebrews 3 verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Fix your thoughts. The Bible says, take every thought and make it captive. Put it under the blood of Christ. Fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. Going back to the Old Testament, it was only the high priest that could go into the Holy of Holies. To go into the Holy of Holies was to present that offering for the people. And the priest, the high priest, would represent, he would be God's representative. He would stand in the gap for the people, between the people and God. But it says here that we acknowledge Christ as our high priest, our apostle. He's become your high priest. He's given you access. Read Scripture and it says that when he hung on the cross and his time, his hour had come, he said, it is finished. And the curtain, the temple curtain that this speaks about, was torn from top to bottom. And it says, we've been given access through the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. But there's a process that we have to go to access that blood, to see that blood working in our lives, to apply it to everything that we do and everything that we say. So I just want us to just take a fresh look at Scripture and see what it says. Going back to Exodus, I want to just go a bit further upon the Passover and read this portion of Scripture. This is what stood out to me ever since I was a young Christian, ever since someone preached a message on the blood. This has stood out to me, and I've not shared it much because, you know, I'm looking through Scripture and saying, is what I feel, is it scriptural? And I want you to read Scripture and see that it is. Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel. And remember, God has said, I want you to do this, and this is how I want you to do it. Go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. This is Old Testament. Jesus become our Passover lamb. It says this: take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that's in the basin, and put the blood on the top of both sides of the door frames. This is what I want to say in my humanness. There was a way in which God instructed his people to do things. There was an order. The lamb, the sacrifice, had to be without blemish, without spot. It had to be slaughtered when they was told to slaughter it. The blood was put in a basin. They was told to take hyssop. It's kind of a weed that was out there in them days. Scripture talks about hyssop being a cleansing form. Take the hyssop, dip it in the blood where the blood is in the basin, and apply it to the doorposts of the house. This is what I'd like us to get. We understand the power of Christ's shed blood, yes? So if we look at this symbol here of Christ being our Passover lamb, the blood, the sacrifice was slaughtered. Do we agree? The blood was put in a basin. Do we agree? But while the blood was in the basin, it had no power. There was an act of obedience that had to come by them taking the hyssop, putting the hyssop in the blood, and then applying that blood over the door frames of their house. There was something spiritual that happened when they was obedient to what God told them to do in the way, in the format that they told them to do it. So we could say that the blood of Jesus is there to cleanse all of us. But for us, we have to take hold of that blood. We have to apply it in our lives. And I want to suggest, if you grab this the way that I've grabbed it over the years, that you'll see that there's the power of the blood is in our obedience to apply it. The power of the blood is in our obedience to apply it. And there's something powerful about what we say about what God has done. I have been saved by the precious blood of the Lamb. God so loved me that he washed me by his blood. God protects me through his blood. God heals me because of his blood. But while the blood is in the basin, it didn't have the power. But once it was applied over the doorpost through obedience, that's when God's avenging angel passed over. So I just want you to meditate on that for a few moments and just see what it means for you in your life and what it means for me in my life. In Ephesians 1:7, it says this: in him we have redemption through his blood. We've been redeemed. We've been brought back. The forgiveness of sins in accordance with his riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will and according to his good pleasure, that he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth through Christ. You see, or under Christ. Peace is made through Christ, but peace is made through the shedding of Christ's blood. You see, when Jesus hung on a cross, he had to satisfy the wrath of God by shedding his blood. He had to be the scapegoat to take the sin. God placed sin upon him. When you look through history, you'll see that many men and women have been sacrificed over the years. Many men and women have been crucified and gone through that excruciating pain over the years. But nobody but Christ has had the sin of humanity placed upon himself. That's the anguish that no one else can experience. The anguish of our sins. God laying his hand on his son to take my sin and your sin, to become the scapegoat for us, to become the blood offering for us. No one in history has done that but Christ. That's why the shed blood of Jesus is so important for us as Christians. Because without it, we're lost. But so often we can miss it. So often we can pass over it. So often we cannot preach on it. So often we cannot pray about it. So before I read my next scripture, can I encourage us, next time we take communion, to actually see what's in front of us. Say, Lord, your body was broken. Lord, your blood was shed. In Psalm 107 verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. There's something we have to tell. We have to speak it out. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe. Let's tell our story. Psalm 51 verse 7. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. And it seems ridiculous that we become whiter than snow when we're washed in blood. But the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all impurities. That's why I want to share this message afresh with us. And hope that we gain an understanding, a fresh understanding of the power that's in the blood. I delight greatly in the Lord, Isaiah 61 verse 10. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. The priest had to be clothed in a certain way in order to have to be clean before God and to go into the Holy of Holies. You see, we've been clothed in a robe of righteousness. We've been clothed in a robe of righteousness. We may not see it, but by faith we apply it into our lives. In Leviticus 17, verse 11, and I am coming to an end. For the life of the creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. It's the blood, the shed blood of Jesus. But you see, as Jesus walked this earth, he was full of blood, wasn't he? But it had no power while he was walking on earth. It had to be applied. It had to be poured out. There was a way in which God said, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. That Jesus had to pay by his own life, shedding his own blood as an atonement for me and you. But by faith, we can apply that blood over our lives. That shed blood we apply over our lives. The Bible tells us that Jesus became our high priest. He had the authority to do this. It says by faith we can accept that we can enter the Holy of Holies. You don't need to go by the way of a priest. You are a priest. In the sense the Bible says we are a royal priesthood. We are a royal priesthood. We have been clothed in a garment of praise. He's atoned for me and he's atoned for you through the shed blood of the Lamb. Two scriptures left, please bear with me. Hebrews 12, 22, it says this, but you have come to Mount Zion, a scripture I've already read, to a city of the living God and heavenly Jerusalem. You have come upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. Question, is your name written in heaven? If not, it can be. If you apply the blood of Jesus by faith to your life, if you ask forgiveness, he will forgive you. If you acknowledge you're a sinner, he'll wash you whiter than snow. To the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven, and to you, you have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. You see, the high priest had to wear a garment. He had to wash himself. He had to take the blood of a sinless, in the sense of spotless sacrifice. He had to sprinkle it. And there's another message about the sevenfold sprinkling. But he had to sprinkle it on the altar. And then there would be an atonement. It says, Jesus has become our high priest. So by faith, by applying that faith to our lives, we can understand that he has sprinkled us with his blood. He's made us clean by his blood. He's made us whole by his blood. Do you know what? I am fully healed, fully redeemed, but my body might not catch up with my mind until I'm in eternity. But for some of us, we will experience a miracle here. For some of us, we will see a breakthrough in the areas we need a breakthrough because of the shed blood of Jesus applied. While it's in the bowl, it has no power. But when it's applied, then God works. He moves. So I want us to read this final scripture and just have a final thought for us to encourage us. Read what God says. These are not my words. They're his words. Therefore, brothers and sisters, that's you and me. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. You see, everything I've said, hopefully, can be backed up by Scripture. The priest was the only one that was allowed to go in. Jesus says, it's finished, gave you and I access. It says, now we have confidence. Don't stand on the outside of what God has for us. Let's move into the centre of what God has for us. Why? Because he's asking us to be confident, to enter the most holy place. And that most holy place is that place of intimacy where you call upon God. That can be in your car, that can be in your room, that can be while you're jogging, that can be while you're at work. Doesn't matter. That's the holy place where you meet God. But have confidence. because you meet him not by the blood of animals, but the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. Not my words, his words. Through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us, you and I, draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings. See, when we apply God's blood to our lives, it gives us the assurance that faith brings. That I'm covered by your blood. I'm redeemed because of your blood. Having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. And having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So what we're doing now is we're encouraging one another. We're spurring one another on. We're saying, you can do this. We're saying all things are possible through Christ who sacrificed for us. We're saying that nothing is impossible for him. We're saying that you can take that process that he's given us. He said, you've been redeemed by his blood. Is that true? Salvation comes because of his blood. Is that true? It says by his stripes, and you could say the blood soaked body, we can receive healing. Many of us, we walk with a disability. And we read that scripture, and many people will quote that scripture, and they'll say, you've been healed by his stripes. You know, one day you'll have no suffering, you'll have no pain. You'll be in completeness. Why? Because of his blood. But it doesn't mean we can't apply it to our lives today and trust him, does it? He chooses to work as he chooses to work. But we can apply that blood to our illness, to our sickness, to our finances, to our well-being, to our family situation. Is there something that's impossible for you? Cover it by the blood of the Lamb. And I'm not talking about you being unbiblical. Be biblical. Recognize that we are covered by the blood. We come into the Holy of Holies because we're covered by his blood. But there is also power in application. Our testimony, as Ken said the other week, it's because we've been tested. We were tested. We were called. We were drawn. We came before his throne with humility and we said, Lord, I am a sinner. Cover me. Save me. And from that point on, you were covered by his blood. Apply it in your life. I want to try and do something now so that our worship team can also have an opportunity just to say, Lord, apply the blood in my life. So I'm going to try and pinch this and play a video and see if it will work. If not, I would say I would sing to you, but I would not put you through that. I just want to, if this works, thanks Nigel, if this works, I just want you to listen. You can sing along because I've picked one that's got words up there. But I heard this song and it just gripped me. And I just want you to apply this to your lives, wherever you are. Whether you're in a good place or not so good place. Just come afresh and say, there's things, Lord, that I'm struggling with. But I want to apply your blood to this situation because you can do all things. I'm going to cover this situation with faith. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness and we thank you for your grace. Church, don't leave the blood of Jesus in the basin. Apply it to your lives. Anyone who chooses to listen to this message, don't leave the blood of Jesus in the basin. Apply it by faith to your lives, to your circumstances, to your situations, that you may be covered, that the evil one will not be able to harm you or your household. Father, bless us, we pray, as we become a blessing to those around us. We ask in Jesus' name, and God's people said,
Amen. Amen.